This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. We're seeing scattered rain on the rain and thunderstorms even possibly on the radar this morning moving across the region. As we speak, there is a large area south of Bemidji, kind of in that Brainerd Lakes area, a big area there stretching all the way over to eastward to Aiken. Also a line of rain showers between Valley City, Fargo, and then all the way down through Barnesville or in that area right along that I-94 corridor this morning. And then another group of showers moving more northerly out in western North Dakota along the Montana border. South of the Williston area, but it is west of that Dickinson area this morning. Also, another little area of rain this morning, kind of in that Grafton area of North Dakota. Scattered rain fell across portions of North Dakota, Minnesota yesterday afternoon and evening. Endon reporting Ada, Minnesota, picking up an inch and 26 hundredths. Hope, North Dakota, an inch and 17 hundredths. Euland and Waukon, Minnesota, just over an inch. Hillsborough, 89 hundredths. And Daisy reporting 39 hundredths. Again, those are all in Endon weather stations. Well, as of last night, no meetings have been scheduled between the White House and congressional leaders on the debt ceiling. One of the lawmakers involved in the negotiations said they would meet again, but the meeting should not be just a repeat of the same talking points. Global financial markets are weaker with no resolution in sight on the debt limit. Advanced Trading Risk Management Advisor Tommy Grisafi says the U.S. government is close to running out of money.
They're the kid at college who's down to eating their last ramen noodles, and they say, Mom, Dad, I need more money. But we are the mom and dad. The American taxpayer is the one who is burdened with this over $31 trillion worth of debt. I hope it's just good theater right now what we're seeing with all these meetings.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned Congress the U.S. could default on its debt as soon as June 1st. Grisafi says the market was rocked when the United Kingdom withdrew from the European Union in 2020. In his view, the U.S. defaulting on its debt would make that Brexit look like a minor event. Environmental Protection Agency has filed an appeal in the current litigation over the controversial Waters of the United States rule. Injunctions were granted by federal courts in North Dakota and Texas, putting WOTUS on hold in 26 states. At this point, EPA has filed the notice to appeal in the Texas case, but not in North Dakota. The issue is further complicated by the WOTUS case that's pending in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. USDA's announcement of disaster aid for 2022 will help livestock and crop producers that suffered extreme weather conditions. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
$3.7 billion is being appropriated for disaster aid to crop and livestock producers that suffered loss in 2022. National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Chandler Gould says that for winter wheat growers who had the fifth smallest production year since the 1970s, it's a relief.
Well, NOG was very pleased to see that Secretary Tom Vilsack rolled out the emergency relief program, or actually the second part of it. We had a similar relief program that covered the 2020 and 2021 crop years. But as you have looked across the weather map yourself and can see that, you know, drought continues to strike in many parts of the major parts of the wheat belt. So we were pleased to hear this announcement, especially as losses continue to spread across the Great Plains and through the wheat belt.
Gould says the multi-year drought is still affecting the 2023 winter wheat crop.
Growers in almost every single one of the 20 states that we represent, and clearly in the Great Plains or the I-35 corridor, definitely benefited from the most since they are in this multi-year drought. You know, the first round of ERP payments had roughly about $10 billion appropriated to it. This round, though, it has a smaller amount of $3.7 billion. We were very pleased to see that the FSA office went ahead and pre-filled the forms out, you know, to help cut down on the paperwork, to make it less of a stress and burden on the already small FSA staff in each of our county offices, and to also help get that aid to our growers who have been suffering through this multi-year drought sooner.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
USDA seeking public input on possible changes to prevented plant coverage. Issues being addressed include changes to the harvest price option, the 1-in-4 rule, and coverage for contract crop production. Risk Management Agency will be hosting virtual listening sessions June 8th. 10 in-person listening sessions are planned, including one in North Dakota. This is the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Ford Motor Company reversing its previous decision and will keep AM radio in its new vehicles. Ford is also offering a software update to provide AM broadcast capabilities in their electric vehicles. National Association of Farm Broadcasting Executive Director Tom Brand credits the rural community and their lawmakers for the change.
Listeners to the radio responded and reached out to lawmakers. Also reached out the manufacturers of automobiles. I think that made a huge difference. Probably what put this on the radar screen as much as anything was a letter that was sent from 102 members of the House of Representatives in the past few weeks to several different automakers. And not just telling them about the importance of AM radio, but asking some very pointed questions, including the amount of federal subsidies they'd received in the last 15 years. I think that made a difference.
Bills have also been introduced in the House and Senate to preserve AM radio in cars and trucks. Local radio has a role in providing information during weather emergencies, and it's been part of this message to keep radio on the dashboard.
The other part of that, though, for the folks that are in rural areas, is the importance of information they receive from their farm broadcaster, because farm broadcasters and AM radio are the connection for so many folks in the country that don't have high-speed internet, don't have broadband, probably don't have access to 5G on a phone, and that's no fault of their own. But when it comes to information that they know they can depend upon, farmers, ranchers, folks in rural America are tuning in because they want to be connected with their community.
Bayer customer business advisor Adam Sipp has been putting in plots near Christine, North Dakota, but it's been difficult to schedule around rains, but things are still ahead of last year.
Really good and then slow. We've been catching rain, seems like every 3 days. This one, I think we had to reschedule. This is probably the fourth or fifth time now, I think. Definitely ahead of schedule compared to last year, behind the average, you could say, but the first half of May, we really don't make much GDUs, so the second half of May is where you stack up GDUs, and then especially the summer is where we can make up for late planting. So a lot of optimism.
And near Wolverton, Minnesota, Jay Nord's at planting should be wrapping up for his farm.
We're doing our last bean field, and we finished corn on Sunday. And I have a little bit more wheat to replant, and then we'll hopefully be done planting for 2023.
Evan Purrington in the Hawley, Minnesota area says rains have not held up planting, but some spots still have to be patient with.
In this direct Hawley area, we've had some rains that have slowed guys down a little bit, but not too bad. I've seen a lot of this moisture soaking in really well, so that's been great. The only issues have been some low spots or weird areas that are holding water longer than normal. So those guys might have to come back and do some reseeding. But other than that, for the most part, it didn't hold us back too much.
In the Barnesville, Minnesota area, Jake Thompson has all their beets and wheat in the ground, working on corn and soybeans, though.
Things are going pretty good. We're currently on soybeans. Hopefully, I'll be finishing up today or maybe early tomorrow. We've got about 120 acres left of corn on some ground that's a little bit too wet, so we decided to switch over on beans here end of last week and hopefully finish that up here in the next couple days. Beets are looking pretty good. It was pretty good conditions going in, so we've got a couple fields that are up to two-leaf type stage, another field that's fighting a little bit of crust, so some of those are still popping through, but overall, stand counts are pretty good.
Planting progress in Manitoba progressing rapidly. Manitoba Agriculture says 80 to 95% of the spring cereals, 70% of the corn, 48% of the sunflowers, 47% of the soybeans, and 40% of the canola has been planted. Field pea planting, 97% done, and dry bean planting just getting started. That's at 20%. Minnesota farmers can now return Lorsban, Cobalt, Vulcan, and similar chlorpyrifos insecticide products. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture canceled chlorpyrifos product registrations for use on food and feed at the beginning of this past year. Corteva Agriscience and Adama U.S. Has permission from EPA now to take back those chemicals. Farmers with existing supplies of the insecticide should check with their ag retailer, and if the supplier won't take back the products, farmers can use the MDA Waste Pesticide Collection Program. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota Wheat Commission's Executive Director Reed Christofferson says the winter wheat in South Dakota ranges anywhere from good to poor, depending on the area.
We're really seeing a mixed bag when it comes to the winter wheat in South Dakota. Overall, when we look at the USDA NAS number, there's 44% that's located in that fair category. They have upgraded our good, however, up to 34%. But we did see late emergence or no emergence last fall in south central South Dakota. And then as we move now into spring, some of the areas in the southeastern part of South Dakota are seeing probably large-scale abandonment, largely related to what it was planted into last fall.
Combination of conditions from the fall and this winter hit the winter wheat hard.
Both the fall conditions and the dryness that in some cases it was planted into, the fact that we just didn't get any emergence going into the fall, and then the extreme winter that we had, the lateness of the spring. So combination of a number of factors.
According to a new report from Rabo Research, U.S. potato prices have surged due to tight supplies. Potato production has declined for four straight years, and the 2022 crop was the smallest since 2010. The scarce supply and strong customer demand for processing potatoes is expected to result in higher contract prices this year. And shippers moving through the Panama Canal are being forced to lighten their loads and pay higher fees due to a drought. The ocean carriers must cut weights of their cargoes on Monday. This will delay shipments through the Panama Canal and increase the costs of the products being shipped. 5% of the world's maritime trade moves through the canal. Checking markets before we leave you this morning. We're seeing July wheat Minneapolis down 5.25 cents at 8.15 and a half. September's down 4.75. Chicago July wheat down 8.75 at 6.13 and a half. Kansas City is down 10 and a quarter, 8.31 and a quarter. July corn down 2 and a half at 5.75. December corn's down 1 and a quarter at 5.15 and a half. July soybeans down 5 and a half at 13.17. And November down 8.25 cents at 11.79 and a half. In the overnight session, canola trading down $4.60 a metric ton, $697 even Canadian. On the farm calendar, NDSU Animal Science hosting a beef field day today. That'll be at the Beef Cattle Research Complex in NDSU Beef Unit. Also beginning today, running out through Friday, is the U.S. Meat Exports Federation summer meeting, spring conference, they call it. That's going to be in Minneapolis. And our own Sierra Doctor on her way there, and we're listening for reports back from that. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.